The best friends of the Rush Hour podcast. Part one, the Rush Hour on Triple M, April 19.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour. Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor here. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Rush Hour Triple M is our handle. When you're talking current affairs, when you're talking gurus of Australian TV, you talk to this man.
Next guest has been on more news current affairs shows than our Uncle Gary, who's a plumber from Penrith. And just like our Uncle Gary, he's also not a qualified plumber. He has, however, spent 20 years at Channel 9 on shows like 60 Minutes and collectively more than 60 Minutes on The Today Show. One time he did a show totally hungover.
Hello and welcome to you.
So he'll be just fine hanging with us here at Triple M. Please welcome Karl Stefanovic.
Yes, we've got the big man on the line right now. Carlos, how are you, brother?
I thought you were introing Ray Martin in for a second. Oh, no, Gussie's got it wrong again after last night. Spent the whole night together cuddling each other, and then, bam, he's dropped me like a dead donkey.
Carl, I would describe Gussie as a small doses kind of man, but you've chosen to walk from Melbourne to Sydney with him. Why is this?
There's nothing small about Gussie at all. I think he's the most wonderful human being in the world. He had a little blister on the inside of his leg when we started out walking yesterday. I've managed to fix that with Glad Wrap and some special spices. And the big fella's ready to roll. I love him. I love his company all day, every day, and into the evening, and sometimes into the early hours of the evening.
Tell us about your arriving into some of these smaller towns. You must be getting incredible reception.
It's been really good. It's fabulous, actually. I mean, we haven't really been out as a show for 2 years either on the road like this. And we've had a couple of times we've come out, but it's really been studio. And that's the same for, I think, everyone, especially in these regional towns. And I think it sort of marries up exactly with what Gus is trying to achieve, and that is trying to connect with people. And I think everyone's kind of ready for it. I really feel like they want to get out and talk about things. And that's why Gus is so good at facilitating this stuff. So when we get out there and we go into places like Shepparton and Wagga Wagga this morning, it was just a brilliant reception. And, you know, you almost don't want to leave because the vibe's so good in these little places. And you can see that the Gus and Gotcha for Life is making such a big difference. You know, the poor guy, you know, I know we joke around about him, but that guy spends a lot of time talking with people and consoling people and counselling them, and I just think it's awesome.
Yeah. Hey, Carlos, it's Wendell Saylor here, mate. How are you going?
Oh, big Dell. Big Dell. I've missed you so much, big fella.
Yeah, brother, I miss me too. Hey, mate, I just got to ask you, you know, we've had drought, we've had bushfires, we've had COVID, especially for these smaller towns. What do you reckon, what's the biggest impact with those small towns?
You know, I think it was drought for a long time, and that was just exhausting and suffocating, whereas the bushfires were quick and devastating. But drought slowly strangled all the businesses, and then they finally got rain. But then after the rain came mice plagues, and then after the mice plague came the pandemic, and it just went on, and I think everyone's just got worn down.
Now, Carl, obviously there's the chat between you two as you're making this journey and you're doing the long walk. Does it stray onto the Broncos? Where does the chat go with you and Gus?
Well, we were watching the footy last night, and Gus, he's obviously he's well versed and has got great experience with these things. I said, West Tigers will win this. He goes, mate, they won't come within 45 of the West Tigers. And anyway, so obviously they won. I didn't rub it in at all. Then we slowly drift onto the Broncos, which I'll be honest with you, I've supported them since I was a kid. I'm not going to flip or flop, but I'm with Wayne Bennett next year at the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, mate. Yeah, what he's done for me, mate, I'm going with Wayne. We'll be in the corporate box together, Carlos. That'll be great.
It's also largely Dell, because I'm ostensibly scared of him. You know, he and Alison Langdon on a Monday morning, I mean, they're frightening things to behold.
It's fantastic to have you on board, big fella. Mateship miles. Obviously, we're down in Canberra tomorrow. Then we make our way to Nowra, then Wollongong on Friday. So plenty of opportunities for people that are listeners to the show to come along to a brunch that we've got in Wollongong on Friday. Maybe even we might get Dill down there as well.
I'll come and see you guys. It'll be good to see you guys. You guys have been wonderful, supported me and my family, and I'll do the same for you guys. So, yeah.
Well, I just think it'd be great for Dell and I to renew our acquaintance. from the boxing match from the footy
show.
Oh, yeah. On the gong, where I just toweled him up.
Oh, yeah, you did. Mate.
Broke his ribs, broke his spirit. I'm surprised he's recovered.
And then the next time I saw Carlos, we were Port Douglas on the drink, so it was great fun. So well done,
at a place called the Courthouse.
Perfect for me, that's for sure.
Hey, thanks a lot, Carlos. I'll see you for dinner in an hour or so, big fella.
All right, we're going to get some Chinese tonight, mate. Something athletic.
Sounds fantastic. There's Carl Stefanovic. He's on the walk with me at the moment, the Mateship Miles Tour. Go to mateshipmiles.com.au for more information. When you're talking rugby league, let's talk to this legend.
Just like in the Bible, our next Moses also has a set of 10 commandments, starting with number one. Thou shalt give credit to the boys for giving 110%. Unlike that other Moses, though, he can play football with 180 games under his belt, including an international career for Lebanon and the Australia Nines. From the holy land of Parramatta, please welcome Mitchell Moses.
Yeah, and one of the absolute really good guys of rugby league as well. Mitch Moses, welcome to the show. How are you, mate?
Boys, how's it going?
Good, mate. We're very, very well. We'll obviously talk footy with you in a moment, but you're an ambassador for Shock Doctor, the mouth guards, and believe us, mate, we've all got kids. We all want to make sure that their pearly whites are as strong as possible. This is a great idea, mate. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I jumped on board with Shock Doctor last year, and I've lucky enough to be an ambassador for him. And, mate, it's just a great mouth guard. It's, as you all know, that I like to talk a lot in my games, and I have to talk a lot in my position. So it's really thin and just really, really protects your teeth. It's that's the main obviously objective, and it's a really good product, and I can speak clearly through it, and it's all boil up the water and mold it to your teeth. So it's a bit old school, and that's probably what I like about it.
Mitch, it's Jude Bolton speaking. Josh Kennedy's one of the other ambassadors. He's from the Swans, and that's the stuff. I know you guys have come across each other a bit, but yeah, kids from the or Eels fans can get down to Rebel Parramatta store on Thursday to see. Is that right? On this Thursday?
Yes, I'm there on Thursday. I'm not sure what time. I think it's
6 p.m. 6 p.m.
or something like that. Yeah, there you go. So I'm there on Thursday. So a little meet and greet, and you can pick up your Shock Doctor mouth guard there, and hopefully they sell well.
Hey, Mitch, it's Del, mate. I know you guys didn't get the win last night, but, mate, what a great atmosphere at that stadium, and it could have went either way, but, mate, you must enjoy playing in those big games.
Yeah, 100%. It was a great atmosphere, mate. It was, at times, you couldn't even hear each other on the field, and it was a great prep, I guess, to what's to come in the future, and it was good that, you know, both sets of fans come out, and obviously the Tigers haven't been going too well at the moment, so to see the support that they turned up was really good, and that obviously our fans turn up every week, and they've been outstanding, and you know they were good again. We're just unlucky not to come away with a win, I guess. I thought their scramble and they're just, you know, they're a bit more desperate than us, I guess. And when they got down there and attacked our line, they come up with points when they needed to. They took their opportunities, and when we went down there, we didn't take every opportunity, which probably hurt us a bit. And yeah, it's something that we watched today in video this morning, and it wasn't a very good watch. It wasn't something very enjoyable, but it's something that we can learn from and hopefully get better from it.
The best friends of the Rush Hour podcast, part one, the Rush Hour on Triple M, April 26.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour, Gus, Jude and Wendell. And we're talking legends of Australian radio, legends of Australian podcasts, legends of Australian TV. We talk to this man.
Next guest is Hamish Blake. Damn it, I wasn't supposed to say that till the end. Well, anyway, for those of you who have just woken up from a coma and missed the past 20 years, Hamish was a massive star upstairs on Today FM back in the days we like to call the pre-COVID days. The doctor will probably inform you of what COVID is momentarily. It's nothing. Hamish has travelled the world in the interests of making a smile, from his numerous travels overseas with Andy Lee to his appearances on our TV screens. We've loved every second of watching him. And we're going to keep watching him on Lego Masters. Let's ask him about it. Please welcome Hamish Blake.
Yeah, and the new series of Lego Masters kicked off last week. Contestants face off in pairs to build the ultimate Lego construction in order to win $100,000 in cash, dude, and impress the Brick Man.
It's actually 100. Thank you. Welcome, boys. It's actually 100,050. Australia's richest reality show. I chucked in 50 of mine. 50 of my own money.
Is it your own money?
That is coming straight from me, guys. That's okay. Tax-free. Oh, I can't promise it's tax-free, but it's cash. So,
hey, mate, good to have you in the show. Good to have you actually in this studio again.
Great to be here.
How's it all going? Did you believe that Lego Masters is going to go so big?
Off.
It's literally the biggest show at the moment.
Honestly, I mean, it's lovely that people watch it. It's a lot of fun to make. Probably the weirdest year was the first year. This is season four. First year, because you make it, that takes a few months. Then it takes a few months to edit it. So there is quite a gap between when you've made it and before it's like on TV. There was definitely in that first year, the interim, where I was sort of like, oh, Lego's coming out in a few months. I'd be like, I wonder if that is a show. Like, while we were doing it, we were having fun.
Yeah.
But now with a bit of space on it, like, we were just in a building mucking around with Lego a lot. Like, you had the real feeling like you would put it on and people would be like, what are we thinking? Like, what are you doing? This is just a bunch of people playing with Lego. No, we had a good time.
Now, the actual show itself, like you say, the reason why everyone loves it is A, because you're in it and you're lovable.
Appreciate
but
that.
But it's the contestants.
They're
lovable. And you look at them initially and go, would I have a beer with these people? And then, like, within 20 minutes, you're like, these are really cool people.
Absolutely. But you know what I love? The fun and the energy of the contestants. Everyone's just there to have a go. And I really like that everybody has a different strength. And there's really no advice you can give anyone on the show. And we sort of say this to them off camera before it begins. We're like, look, there's no real briefing. Like, there's no tricks. Like, we're not trying to make you. We want you to look good. Like,
yeah.
we obviously, this show doesn't work unless you build good stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to just come around and, like, hit the tables and push your Lego over.
No.
Like, we want you to look great. And I reckon the people that have the most fun are the ones that go the hardest.
Yeah.
Everyone stood on Lego at some point in their life with bare feet.
Absolutely.
When Gus takes his Crocs off, like, everyone's mortified in general. But is it a shoes-on policy,
Heavily shoes on, especially we don't have, I mean, I don't know, like the Lego Batman helmet is the absolute worst to stand up from my experience, like way worse than Darth Vader's helmet that has a nice curve to it. But the Batman ears, they get you. We do have a lot of running in the studio and there is loose Lego on the floor, but we have never really, we haven't had anyone roll an ankle, but it is kind of ripe for it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Now we had we had Andy through the summer in the cricket commentary.
I like that you were like, not really sure what to call him. Andy.
He's your Andy in the cricket commentary. You did a little bit as well, I think, through a rain break at some stage as well.
I got to come in.
You're in Sydney. That was good.
That was day three, maybe day four of the Sydney test. And, Andy was like, because he was like, come on, let's go to the cricket. I was like, yeah, awesome. What a great day. Like, let's just
go. A few beers.
Have a few beers.
He gets loose as a goose in Adelaide with all his mates.
He got his invoice in. Part of his contract,
he said, I'm happy to do the first session because it's a day-night test.
Yep.
But he said, as soon as the light come into play, I'm not available.
Mate, absolutely. And I didn't know we were going to go on. He was like, hey, do you want to jump in the commentary box? I was like, have you weaseled some work into this? I thought this was just going to be a fun day.
And he put an invoice in, don't worry.
And then he was like, oh, don't worry, mate, I'll pay for dinner. Let's go and do four overs.
Let's talk cricket. It was good fun, right?
Like, mate, I loved the commentary. You guys did a great job.
Thanks, brother.
It was awesome.
Well, I've got to ask, I carry on like a little bit of a rock star, but on the Lego show, you're a rock star on that show. Is there any chance that I can get involved?
That is a genius. Well, we might do another Christmas special, Wen. I'd love to see how you go building.
Those big fingers of his, though. Like,
yeah, but
they're not
the power
skills.
They're not there. They're not made for building much, but I just love it. It's great.
You're Sydney-based now. How much do you love the weather? What are your things you're loving about Sydney at the moment?
Weather.
What
are you loving? It's been better in Melbourne the last 6 months.
Mate, it has been. I was sold heavily on the weather.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you guys.
So
I've lived
sorry.
In Melbourne for 40 years. Yep. We move up a year ago. I'm like, all right, let's do this. Great adventure. Spend a few years in Sydney. And for 10 years, my wife has lived in. She's a Sydney girl.
Yeah.
We've lived in Melbourne. 10 years, as soon as it gets to March or April, Zoe just walking around going, unbelievable, this is the worst. Like, if we were in Sydney, we'd be at the beach. Like, this is terrible. And then I'm like, all right, let's do it. We move up and we hit this.
Well, I've got to ask you, like, you and Zoe, mate, I love the commercial you do where, because we've been in COVID for two and a half years.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking my next trip, I'm obviously going to ring you, but I want to go to Kakadu or Margaret River. What would your top three destinations be in and around Australia? I don't want to go overseas. I just like.
Why not?
Well, I'm going to make you go
over.
It's
a proper holiday unless you change currencies. Well, look,
I'm going to make you go over a small sea because Tassie's great fun.
Yes.
Did that last year. Went mountain biking northeast Tassie. Super fun.
Yeah.
Super fun.
Yep.
Before we shot this holiday, I'd never been to the Kimberley.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
That's what
I mean. Do you know the Kimberley is as big as Germany?
No.
Because I thought it was like the Blue Mountains. So I was like, because they like, oh, we're in the East Kimberley here, you can go to the West Kimberley. It's like, what do you guys keep referring to as East and West? Like, it's like, how big is it? It's like, mate, it's as big as Germany.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
There is a lot of space up. Just save a full afternoon.
Okay. So,
hey, mate, love it, Hamish. Thanks so much for coming in. Lego Masters kicked off last week. It's on back tonight.
We're back
on Channel
tonight.
9 at 7:30. Lego Masters, thanks for coming in and joining us on the show, brother.
Thanks,
Hamish Blake. Welcome back to the Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Rush Hour Triple M is our handle. When you're talking AFL and you're talking Swannies, we talk to this man.
Next bloke was born in 1996. That's right, the year that Plugger sparked that pitch invasion at the SCG, this kid was just born. We'll let that sink in for a second.
Oh, they had no hope of...
Now, he plays for the Swans, and he's Sydney-born and bred too.
Not one of them Victorians that grew up in, like, I don't know, Wangaratta on a farm or something and then just moved here for money. He's idolised the Swans since forever, and he's played forward since 2015. In 2018, he took the AFL Mark of the Year Award, and in 2022, he took out the Talking to Us Award. Right now, please welcome, from the Sydney Swans, Isaac Heaney.
Yeah, g'day, Isaac. It's Jude. Welcome to the Rush Hour. How are you, mate?
Oh, I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah, really well. It was a huge final term yesterday from the boys, running over Hawthorn,
all
kicking
right,
the
mate.
Last...
There's no need to keep going.
Yeah,
no,
you're a Hawks,
that.
Man. You kicked the last 8 goals of the game. Incredible final term, but the start must have been a little bit frustrating from John Longmire and the coaching staff.
It was, yeah. We obviously wanted to start well, and we didn't, and they came out on fire. And obviously, I had to go back at some point and try and ease the goals they had on a run. So it wasn't ideal, but it was good to respond. And the second and third was obviously an arm wrestle. And then the last quarter, it was really nice to finally finish our goals, but also run over the top of them.
Yeah, you certainly did that. A lot of tears at my place. I had Hawthorn into the Roosters. So terrible afternoon yesterday for me.
Unlucky, mate.
Unlucky, that's a shocker.
Yeah, it is a shocker. Big top four clash coming up against the Lions this week. It doesn't get any easier, does it? This AFL competition is hot.
Absolutely. No, they're on fire at the moment, and I think they're one of the teams to beat.
Mate, what do you think the strength is with the Brisbane Lions? Obviously, you know, they've been in and around there for a couple of years, and Charlie Cameron's an absolute freak. What do you think is their strengths?
What isn't their strengths? Yeah. I think all over the park they're pretty good. They're strong in defense. They've got some players that can kick, real bags, and strong through the midfield as well, with Lachie Neal sort of leading the charge there. And they're just an impressive outfit, and it could be their year.
We're talking to Isaac Heaney from the Swannies, and Isaac, I want to talk to you about the way you've elevated your game this season. You're now sort of elevated into the top players in the competition. Do you hear that stuff? Do you read that stuff about you? And how does that sort of sit with you?
It's a nice thing to hear. But at the same time, living in Sydney, you miss a lot of it, miss a lot of the hype, but also miss, I guess, a lot of the negativity. And the media in Sydney is just primarily NRL. So I do love that side of things. It is nice here and there to know that I'm playing right as well and the start of the year well. And that's just come off the back of a really good preseason and not missing many sessions throughout the week. And just got a lot of clunkers in my legs at the moment, which is nice.
Well, Isaac, I've got to give you a massive rap. I'm not sure what you guys are doing there at the Swans, but I've got two little friends, Will and Cooper, and they love you, Conley. And so I'm kicking the football with them, and all they're talking about is the Swans. So this week, Isaac Heaney's their favourite player.
Oh.
So I'm going with them to watch the Swans versus the Lions. So I said to them, the Lions are my team. But, mate, you're doing something right there. They met you last week. It was a buddy's clinic or something that you did last week. They had a photo with you, mate, and they love you. So you're doing great things, mate.
Thank you very much.
Can we take you back to the SCG a few weeks ago? Some bloke's on 999.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're waiting for the moment. Everyone's sort of sitting on the fence, ready to run and so forth. What was it like just being there on that particular night? And we heard some protocols coming into play that you're all going to be trying to leave the field and going to have that big moment. But did you expect it to be as big? And for I suppose, 45 minutes there, the Swans were the biggest sporting club in Australia. It was quite incredible that night.
Yeah, it was a weird one. We obviously knew the significance of it, and it'll probably never be done again. But actually... witnessing and being a part of like what actually happened was incredible, and you can't really plan for it. And I don't think the security guards really planned for it either. They just stood there and we were just like, you know what, we've given up on this and we'll let everyone settle and have their moment. And it became actually really full on. Like, we were in the middle of this felt like a mosh pit. It was like 100 degrees. It was, everyone was jammed. People were getting trampled. Like it was pretty full on, but at the same time, it was an amazing experience. And, one I'm, yeah, very blessed to be a part of.
Hey, Isaac, thanks so much for joining us, mate. It's an absolute pleasure. Brilliant. You're doing a fantastic job on and off the field. As Del said, you know, the Swannies are absolutely smashing it outside of the playing arena as well. And thanks for joining us on the show, mate.
The best friends of the Rush Hour podcast. Part one, the Rush Hour on Triple M. April 28th.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. And now, guys, we have an absolute legend on the line. Let's have a chat to this man.
This next guest is so Queensland, he uses a brown snake as a belt and keeps cane toads in his pockets to feed it. One of the greatest halfbacks of all time. He holds the record for the most State of Origin appearances. As in playing State of Origin, not just appearing there. Oh boy, did he play. He's a Clive Churchill and Rothmans medalist. He's won 4 premierships with the Bronx, represented Australia 24 times. And did we mention he's got his own bar at the Brizzy Leagues Club? Please welcome the little general, Alfie Langer.
Yes, and probably the biggest role he ever had, Jude, was actually mentoring Wendell Saylor. But we've got him on the line right now. G'day, Alfie. How are you, mate?
Very good, guys. And they mentioned that bar at the Leagues Club at Wendell's band from there as well. So.
Alfie, what was it like mentoring this guy? Because, I mean, we just have to rein him in some days. But you were obviously day in, day out with the big man.
It was very tough for the first couple of years because he didn't drink. So he's very innocent and quiet then. But once he turned 21, mate, it was downhill from there.
Now, Alfie, let's talk about the footy, mate, before we get back onto Dell again. Obviously, you're still part of the Broncos and you've got Kevvy Walters there and you're really trying to turn it all around. How have you seen the season so far and obviously a huge clash coming up?
Yeah, we're on the improve, I think. We started off the season great with the first 2 wins, then had 2 poor performances, and then we're sort of back on track, I think, with the goodbyes of Reynolds and Kate. Well, they've sort of great leaders in their own right. But the other players are getting used to playing with them now. I think there's a lot of improvement. I think Katoni Staggs is really getting match fit at the moment. Payne has just does the same thing every week. So we've got to get a lot of these young guys and our spine playing well together.
So surprised when South Sydney let Reynolds go because he's such a leader, brilliant goal kicker, and he's a guy that can really control a game. And you can see he's starting to put his footprints all over. Is that how you see it, mate? That number 7 jersey you wore so magnificently, you sort of see him growing into that role?
I still can't believe South Sydney let him go. He's been a junior, been playing there all his life. A great player and still was playing great football, played a grand final with them last year and to see him leave, but what a great buy for us. But as I said, he's not only good on the field, he's good away from the field and good with the players. So that's what you need in a leader. And, we need some followers to go with him and I think we're on the way.
Alfie, if you can take yourself out of this particular question, who do you think was the best 3 Broncos of all time? We've been having an argument or a conversation, which, of course, sport can give you around that in the studio.
Probably 3 great wingers, I'd say. Willie Kahn, Nick Hancock and Lottie Tekeer.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
So, okay, Del, you can come in now.
Great to have a true Broncos legend.
That took a while, thank you.
So, mate, Alf, I don't care, mate. Alf, mate, wait. No one understands. You used to control me. So if I had a good game, Alf would come up to me and go, he goes, mate, you went all right today. So because he knew I'd get excited out. Okay, but I've got to say this. The 3 greatest Broncos
of
all time.
Well, I didn't have to give you a rap, Wendell. You give yourself a rap.
I know. But 3 of the greatest Broncos, everyone talks about Darren Lockyer. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you now, this guy here, through the good times and bad times, Alan Langer walks in the door. Mate, you know why people love Alan Langer? Because he is the Broncos. I know Wayne Bennett gets a lot of credit, but can I tell you, mate, if you don't have Alan Langer in your corner, mate, you've got nothing. Always checks in. Is that the police car? I'm running. No. Mate, so it goes, mate, Alan Langer, Darren Lockyer, and for me, Gordon Tellis just in front of Gene Miles. They're my top 4 Broncos of all time.
Tell you what, there's a good team when you put it all together.
Alf,
one of your great quotes was that you sat back at the end of reading Dell's book, and you said, I didn't realise how good a player was until I read your book. He pumps himself up a fair bit, doesn't he?
He does, but at the end of the day, mate, he was a great competitor and a great player for the Broncos. We enjoyed his company on and off the field, especially off, probably more than on. but in saying that, he's a great guy, and certainly we talk most weeks, and to see the enjoyment he still gets out of the game. And the thing I do, I get out of the game and seeing all the young talent come through. And as I said, mentoring and being involved with these young guys and see them grow from young men to real men. It's great to see.
Alf, can I ask one more question? Like, my favourite player in the NRL, and you've worked with him. What I love, you know, a couple of years ago when we were in COVID, we went to Adelaide Oval. Alf saw me. He was right side of the field, walks over to me because mum had just passed away. But we couldn't sort of hug in that, but he just asked me, was I okay?
Yeah.
But can I ask you, Cameron Munster, mate, can I ask, mate, I've played with some scallywags in my time. Darren Lockyer, obviously yourself, Andrew Johns. Mate, Cam Munster, surely the Dolphins, they've got to go all in with Cam Munster.
Well, he'd be a great Bronco, that's what I think.
Yeah, but
I'd go, if I'm a Bronco, I'd go all out for him if I was in the business to buy players and on the board or CEO or whatever at the Broncos, I'd go all out to him because imagine the combination of him and Reynolds playing together.
Mm. Exactly, and they're full Queenslanders. Everyone would absolutely love that. Alfie, thanks so much for joining us, mate, and giving us a little bit of insight into the big fella. We really appreciate it, and best of luck against the Sharkies.
Thanks, guys. Have a great arvo.
Hey, Alf, who was the king of the wing? You know I was number one, baby.
King of the wing? Yeah, you are Adam McDougall.
May 3. Welcome back to the Rush Hour. Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. We're talking boxing. We talk to this Australian legend.
This next fella is pretty handy with his, well, hands. He's won 7 national championships and a gold medal at the Com Games. More recently, he strapped on the green and gold for Australia at the 2020 Olympics, where he won a bronze.
It's the highlight of my life so far, but I definitely won't let it be the highlight of my life.
Please welcome to the Rush Hour,
in the red corner,
Harry Garside.
Yeah, and who's going to be the king of Newcastle? No Limit Boxing is proud to present the biggest boxing night in Australia this year. Stage on May 11 at the Newcastle Entertainment Centre. Boys, headlined by Paul Gallen, Nikita Zhu, and of course, our man, Harry Garside. No Limit Boxing delivered 2 incredible events in Newcastle in 2021, and this incredible lineup of talent is certain to have the venue full and loud again. And we've got Harry on the line right now. G'day, Harry. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you going?
Mate, we're fantastic. Thank you. This card, absolutely huge. How much are you looking forward to it?
Oh, I can't wait, mate. I've never actually fought in Newcastle, but every time I watched Tim Zhu, the atmosphere looked absolutely electric. So I can't wait to get up there, mate. They're boxing fanatics up there, and I love the country atmosphere, and I can't wait to get up there and get in the ring.
Harry, some of the best boxers on the planet wait months, sometimes even years between fights, but you've got just 35 days between your last fight and this one. How much will that impact on your training and preparation?
Not too much, mate. I'm pretty old-fashioned and old-school with the way I trained and my mentality, so providing I didn't get hurt in my last fight and had no injuries, like, there's no reason why I can't fight the next week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I absolutely love fighting. It's always an honour and a privilege to get inside the ring, the sacred square, as I call it. and I can't wait to get in there next week.
Well, mate, you won bronze in Tokyo. That must have been an unbelievable feeling. But now you're fighting back in your home state. What's the difference and how are you feeling about it?
It's massive, mate. You know what I mean? I always just, doesn't matter if I'm fighting the Olympic Games or if I'm fighting in my local RSL. It doesn't really matter, mate. To me, every time I get in there, I always try my hardest to always bring the best version of myself. And next Wednesday will be no different, mate. He's a bloke from Tasmania, Leighton McFerrin, that I'm fighting. And Tasmanians are always tough as nails, and I'm sure he's going to be no different.
How confident are you, Harry, that your speed and timing is going to be, you know, too much for McFerrin?
I'm feeling good, mate, and you always got to go inside the ring with confidence, but also at the same time, you've got to show a bit of respect for anyone who gets inside that ring. So never overlook an opponent. Always get in there and try your hardest and try your best. That's all we can do as athletes. But all in all, mate, I'm feeling good. My preparation's been good, and obviously coming off that last fight, 10 rounds, 10 good hard rounds as well. I'm feeling good and I'm feeling ready.
You must be really proud that you did go the distance. That obviously only just a second professional fight, that last fight in which you won the Australian lightweight title. I mean, just going the distance must be make you immensely proud.
Oh, absolutely, mate. I've never fought anything over 3 rounds. In the amateurs, obviously, only 3-round fights. So to fight 10 rounds, to see what it's all about, it was an amazing feeling. And I'm an endurance athlete, so I definitely love sort of going six-plus rounds. So I don't want to be doing too many 10 rounders. I do want to be stopping opponents, but at the same time, I do love doing those 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 rounds.
Mate, I've got to ask, every time we talk to boxers, it seems they love the Roosters. Why do all the boxers love the Roosters? I know they're not going that well at the moment.
Hey, whoa.
Oh, sorry, mate. Broncos,
don't
Dragons.
Kick us from it down.
Yeah.
Up the Chookies.
Hey.
Now, I'm living with my partner in the East in Bellevue Hill. So yep. That's the reason why I'm supporting the Chookies.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're doing pretty well. I've only been in Sydney for about 6 months. So
yep.
Still yet to go to a game, but hopefully I can go to one soon.
Oh, Harry, yeah. We'll get you organised. Go and talk to the team as well, mate. They'd love to. They'd all follow you unbelievably because you've just been brilliant for Australia, not only wonderful, the Olympics, mate, yeah. But since you turned professional as well. So we'll organise that with Robbo to go in and talk to the boys after training one day.
I'd absolutely love that, mate. I spoke to the, I believe it was the under-17s or under-19s girls just before
they won
their grand final on the weekend. So
yeah.
I spoke to them late last week and they were all fantastic and had a really good mindset, which is good. Good to see.
Well, that's what you got, mate, and that's why we love you, mate. So we're right behind you. And Triple M listeners and Australia, get behind this young man. He's a champion.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
The best friends of the Rush Hour podcast. Part one, the Rush Hour on Triple M, May 5.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour here on Triple M with Gus, Jude and Wendell. When you're talking rugby league, when you're talking royalty of rugby league, you talk about this man.
If you look up rugby league in the Oxford Dictionary, you'd find a photo of this next guest because he's so rugby league, he thinks AFL is that character in Home and Away.
Burn the flaming crow.
He's done it all. 31 State of Origins. 30 as captain. Inducted into the Hall of Fame. He's an immortal in the Kangaroos team of the century. And the list just goes on and 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 on.
Mate, you're stepping on the echo button.
Oh, sorry.
They call him the king. We call him Sir Wally. Please welcome Wally Lewis.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Wally. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
That's all right, guys. I was just listening to those names and I'm getting called, but I've got to say that there's a few that you have forgotten to call, and I'm sure plenty of the people from south of the border were standing over the fence yelling out, referring to me almost as a banker. I think that's what they were calling me anyway.
It was back in the day, Wally, but not anymore, mate. Not anymore. We love you and thanks for joining us. What about the footy at the moment? We're only sort of 8-9 rounds in, but hasn't it just been fantastic?
Yeah, terrific. Very open, entertaining. There's been plenty of great games, I think, that have pleased the public, that have also pleased the NRL bosses. But in particular, I'm sure the coaches of all these teams would be, fairly confident with what they've seen displayed on the field that that's going to continue on throughout the course of the season. And when finals time comes around, they really will have some strike weapons on board.
Wally Cam Munster elevates himself each week, and his combination with Harry Grant just continues to get better, and it augurs well for Queensland, doesn't it?
Yeah, fantastic. Munster's in unbelievable form at the moment. The confidence that he displays each and every game is fantastic, and it's a real thrill to watch. Harry Grant, well, I've got to say that I am his number one fan in town. I remember watching him when he played his first game. He was on the field for 7 minutes, and I think he was playing for the Tigers then?
Yeah, Tigers, yeah.
And it was at Campbelltown, I believe. He'd been playing for 7 minutes, and I said, this kid will play for Australia. Watch him. He's got unbelievable skills. He had time about him. He created time when it didn't exist. The opportunities that he provided for the teammates around him really was extraordinary.
Yeah, well, the Broncos are playing tonight. They're playing South Sydney. They ambushed him in the first round. Adam Reynolds has been a wonderful buy for the Broncos. How are you seeing them this year?
Yeah, I've got to say, I agree with that totally, Del. I get to watch him at every training session, go down and just watch what they get through. He's one of those players that creates confidence with the surroundings that other players develop. They know that they have an opportunity to be able to put themselves into a gap. And I think one of the most pleasing things that I heard him say was, you just run into the gap, into the hole, I'll get you the ball.
Yeah. We've got the honour of talking to Wally Lewis at the moment. And Wally, it would be wrong of us not to ask you to chat about our teammate in here, the Big Del. Of course, he likes talking himself up, but let's be absolutely honest, one of the great wingers of all time. What are your thoughts on Del as a player and a man?
Mate, he made a lot of people love rugby league. There were plenty of people that that said he was playing in a team. He was playing in a Broncos team that had a pile of stars. Well, if they had a pile of stars, they had one more when Dell was in it. He used to be up front and never lacked confidence. And I think that was the outstanding thing. But for me, I always used to regard that as a necessity for a player. Yeah. And the way that he used to do it, it also made rugby league. And I'm not filling up his pocket here. He knows that I've given him a rap a few times, but what he did was he made people want to watch rugby league. It was open, attacking, entertaining, and a real thrill. And there were plenty of kids that used to go around and do the Wendell Sailor run for the try line, the dive into the corner, and then the celebration start after it, straight after it. Mm-hmm. So that in itself, was something that was good for rugby league. And I'm sure, Dell probably had a player, a winger that he liked to imitate. Yep. To a certain level, but that's what rugby league is all about. It really is a match that provides entertainment for all that go there. And at the end of the day, when they look back and talk about was it worth it going to the footy, getting rid of a few bucks, it might have cost them a few. Well, yes, it was. And Dell was one of those entertainers for quite some time.
Well, I thank Wally Lewis because, mate, he's one of the reasons why I went up to rugby league. I wanted Serena. But before me, there was Eric Groth, there was Mick Hancock and Willie Kahn. And then I brought Lottie Dekeary through. But, mate, when you're in the dressing room and Wally Lewis is sitting beside you, you're sitting next to rugby league royalty. But what's even better is our kids were friends too. So Lincoln Lewis, Tristan used to sit on Lincoln Lewis's lap. So our season tickets were all beside each other. So all our family, Mitch, Jamie, they were all friends and stuff. And when I see the kids now, I give them a hug and that. And, mate, they're like family to me. So thanks, Wally. You've been a legend and you've always backed our family.
Oh, it's always been fun, Del, and it's wonderful. You mentioned your kids, and that's the thing that I've got to say that I've been very proud to play footy over the years. But it's your kids that you become most proud of, and their achievements. And if they're not on the football field, you couldn't give two hoots. Yeah. They're your kids. You love them for life, and they are a very special part.
Yeah, they're the best. There's no doubt about it. Love you, Wally. You're not a banker anymore, mate. We can give you the tip.
He's on our call team as well. So when he's on the sideline, you know when you're going there, you're throwing to Wally Lewis?
Wally shouldn't be on the sideline.
I know,
mate.
Wally
Put
wants
him up
to
in
be
the
because
box,
he's
brother.
So, but he's so humble, he doesn't mind being on the sideline.
Thanks a lot, Wally.
Cheers, Wally.
My pleasure.
May 9.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour. Gus Wall and Jude Bolton and Wendell Sailor here on Triple M. When you're talking about boxing royalty and our raw royalty, you talk about this man.
Next guest has done it all. He's a former captain of the Cronulla Sharks, playing 340 plus games for Australia and New South Wales. He's a professional boxer with 12 wins under his belt, 7 by KO. That's just the start. He's an NRL commentator. Jeez, next you'll be telling me he saved some puppies from a burning house.
Did he save some puppies from a burning house?
Well, if there were puppies in a burning house, he'd save them. Please welcome to the show, Paul Gallen.
Yeah, and of course, the fight live on Main Event and available on KO and Foxtel this Wednesday night. And Gal is attempting for Australian boxing history, aiming to become the first cross-code athlete to ever hold the Australian and Australasian titles at the same time. Gal, thanks for joining us on the show, mate.
No worries, boys. Thanks for having me.
Mate, how are you feeling? The press conference, you're fired up, mate, because the bloke hasn't done a lot.
Oh, mate, I just get really frustrated. And I mean, Wendell's sort of been in and around boxing as a boxing circle. And what I suppose the people in boxing sometimes think of crossover stars who try their hand at boxing, they're pretty critical, to be honest. And they often, want to get stuck in here for so-called taking up boxing people's time or taking the limelight away from them. But the fact is, mate, I bring eyes to the sport and I bring the limelight to the boxers. And every one of those boxers today understood that. And they actually three or four of them even mentioned it. And here he's a guy who's a boxer, comes from that boxing background and has done absolutely nothing to promote the fight for starters, but nothing to promote the sport. And that's what I get most frustrated at. That he's a boxer who's had an amateur career and he's probably one of those people who have bagged me for being involved. Yet when he's got his time in the sun, his time to shine, wants to do nothing for the sport. I just don't get it. These boys fighting in league clubs in front of 300 people. He's got the opportunity to fight in front of thousands of people, tens of thousands of people at home, and it doesn't promote the sport. It doesn't even turn up for the media day. I just think it's stupid. Look, and it's really frustrating, mate, to be honest.
No, I can understand that, mate.
One thing I'd say, like, even like, I'll be honest, Gal and I used to work together at Triple M, mate. Always, Gal always says hello. My daughter's a massive Sharks fan. He got a jersey for my daughter, got it signed, and like, she had a photo with Gal. Mate, what Gal's done in boxing, not too many people, mate, Mundine was great, but like, he's taking on heavyweights. And I don't care. People say, oh, you know, he fought his older fighters and rugby league players. When Gal fought Justin Hunney, mate, I was sitting in a bar with my mate going, mate, you know what? I don't care what anyone says. Paul Gallen nearly beat Hunney. He nearly beat him in that fight.
Yeah.
That's, mate, the blokes, he was 22. Gal was 40. This is not his speciality, but let me tell you, he's 40, 41, and he just keeps on keeping on, mate. Nothing but respect for Gal in this.
Thanks, Del. Appreciate that, mate. But, yeah, mate, looking forward to this fight. It's a big fight. He's, I think he's 30 or 31, so obviously a lot younger than me. We've got a similar record. He's had 10 fights, only one loss. So, and, mate, this card all in all is probably the best card I've been involved in. And, I mean, there's 10 fighters on the card. The five main fights on the main event card, there's only four losses between all 10 fighters. So it's a, you know, there's a couple of blokes who are undefeated there. I think the most amount of losses anyone's had is one. It's going to be an amazing card, an amazing night. Newcastle love their boxing, and yeah, just looking forward to getting it all done now.
Gallus, dude, you've been able to show not only your incredible resilience, you just can cop such a beating throughout any of the fights, but you've shown your skill. Is there a part of that you wants to take on a fight like Jake Paul next and try and steal that from Sonny Bill Williams?
Oh, look, that has been spoken about, has been mentioned to me, and I said I'd be up for it. Look, I don't think I'll be stealing from Sonny Bill Williams. I'm pretty honest in my appraisal. That fight is impossible to make. Sonny Bill Williams weighed in his last fight fit as a fiddle at 109.5 kilos. Jake Paul weighs in his fights at 86 kilos. How the hell is Sonny Bill? We've all seen Sonny Bill. How's he got an ounce of fat on him? How's he going to lose 25 kilos, please?
Wow.
It's just not going to happen. You have to chop a leg off, honestly.
Yeah, but also...
I just don't think that's possible, that fight happening. Look, when I fought Justin Hunney, I weighed in at 97 kilos, so I probably could get down to around 90 kilos at the most, to be honest. No less than that. So,
in your head, I know you want that fight, Gal, and, mate, let me tell you, we all want to see it. That would just blast the main event records.
Will it happen, Gal?
Come on, Gal, you know what you want.
I've got to be honest, guys, I don't think it will happen. And Gal's 100% right. I've wanted it to happen for a long, long time, and I had a conversation with his manager about 6 weeks ago, and that conversation was it was non-existent, to be honest. It was a nothing conversation. And I actually worked with Sonny that weekend.
Yeah.
And I was really angry, and I thought, I'm going to put it on Sonny live on television and ask you if we could fight. And I did. I said, Sonny, when are we going to do it? And all I got was, we'll see, bro. That was it. So,
Well, you never know. You're saying there's a chance, Gal. Anyway, you're a great mate of ours here at Triple M. Loving what you're doing across the road as well at other radio stations. And all the best for Wednesday night. Well, we've got the steaks in, the beers ready to go. A few mates coming over. Main event, live on Main Event and available on KO and Foxtel this Wednesday night. Make sure you don't miss it. Like you say, Gal, not just you, Harry Garside, a few other absolute guns as well. So we look forward to it, mate.
Boys, appreciate your support. I'll see you later.
Well, cheers, mate. Good on you, Gal. Thanks a lot, mate.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.